Okay, so I guess we better follow the directions. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is our guidance in prayer. You know, there's really no reason to just wing it. You know, when we follow the directions, we get good results. Verse 14 says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." So that's pretty simple. We know that we have confidence with God. Number one, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." When you're born again, you are in Christ Jesus. I mean, there's no condemnation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you're in right standing with Him. And because of the blood of Jesus, we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and we can receive help from Him in these times of need. Now, the kicker is we use His word. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus told us if we ask anything in His name, that's what He will do. So we just run around copycatting Jesus. So this guy's name is what?
Mike.
Well, Father, we lift Mike up to you and we plead the blood of Jesus over him. And we curse that gangrene that has attacked his body and we command it to be uprooted and be cast into the sea and be dead. We bless his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Father, we ask you that your anointing flows through his body in such a miraculous way that he's lifted up with power and strength, and that the love of God that surpasses all understanding will flood his soul and cause him to jump up and shout hallelujah and walk in the full anointing and healing that you designed him to walk in. We praise you for this. We thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Do we have any more prayer requests? Okay. Okay.
He's some better.
Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for the continued healing going on in Mike's body. Father, we praise you for everything you're doing in there, causing the crooked things to be made straight and the straight things to be made crooked. Father, causing this life of Christ to flow through his body, causing him to be healed. And we thank you that since we take communion every single Sunday, that we can expect to receive 100-fold return, 60-fold return, 30-fold return on your word. So we thank you for your gradual healing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Do we have any more prayer requests? Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. So when we take your seed, which is your word, and put it in our hearts by the voice of our mouth, that it is going to take root in there and it's going to cause us to produce fruit in your kingdom. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, (clears throat) One thing that we really like to do is to move the curse out of our lives. You know, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. See, and then down in verse 29, it tells us that if you, being Abraham's seed, in which you are, when you get born again, you become the seed of Abraham, you fall heir to the same blessings Abraham had. Amen. Now, there's too many people that are walking around in the curse and not walking around in the blessing. And part of it is the words of their mouth, and part of it is they just don't know. You know, what you don't know can and will hurt you. That's why it's so important to open this thing up and read it. You know, this is, they call it the New Testament. But that's a new will. That's God's will for your life. He wrote down all these blessings for you that you can have and partake in. He said, you know, in Psalms 23, he says, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That's down here on this earth. That's not in heaven. There are no enemies in heaven. That's right here on this earth. There's no enemies in heaven. So what he expects us to do is to belly up to that table and fill up. You know, Jesus gave us the use of his name. He gave you the authority to use his name. You know what that means? I mean, he gave you a blank check and he signed it. And he said, you go fill this thing in. And most people are running around filling it in for $5. So I don't want to be greedy. That's foolishness. He wants you to be overflowing with the blessing. There's some things that we need to do to get that blessing flowing. Number one, believe in the cross of Christ. Amen. Believe what Jesus did for you on that cross. But here's some key things. Faith, wisdom, love, and righteousness. When we understand those four pillars, when we understand what the blood of Jesus did for us in that area, then it'll be a lot easier for that blessing to flow. You know, you might consider, you know, the blessing is, you know, you're tied to heaven with that. But sometimes your channel gets clogged up. You need to clean that thing out once in a while. So let's look at the faith part. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1 before we get started. I chased rabbits all over the place. Says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The devil absolutely hates Romans chapter 8. That's why you should read that thing a lot. It tells you a lot about who you are in Christ, what Christ has done for you. Here's the biggie. There's no condemnation. When you get born again, as far as God is concerned, whatever was wrong between you and him before that time is washed away. Now, sometimes people get tricked by the devil and they say, well, okay, my past sins were forgiven. What about the ones that I seem to do when I'm just in my everyday travel since I've been born again? 1 John 1:7 says that if you walk in the light, as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. We have a waterfall of forgiveness. Amen? He wants you to have a righteousness conscience, not a sin conscience. Don't fall into that trap of getting on your knees and asking God to forgive you every time you make a mistake. That's a sin consciousness. Pretty soon, you'll just get tired of it. And you won't even want nothing to do with it no more, because you'll just keep on finding things that you did wrong. You know, the devil, he beats Christians up with the law. That's his favorite weapon. He uses the law on Christians. And Christians buy into it all the time. They make a mistake, and then they blame God for it. They'll make a mistake and they'll say, the Holy Spirit got all over me, made me feel so bad about that, till I just had to do something. Oh, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't spend his time making people feel bad. He doesn't spend his time trying to get people into condemnation. He spends his time convincing the church that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're in right standing. And the blood of Jesus took care of it. So if you just have to talk to God about that sin, say, Father, I thank you that I am forgiven. But this really annoys me. And I don't want to do it no more. Will you help me with this? Amen? We need to get on the right side of the cross in this thing. Now let's look at this first part, the faith part. Turn over here to Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, right there should cause your heart to have a little comfort. You know, God's not mad at you. It's a lot easier to have faith when you know that God is not mad at you. See, there's the confidence too. We have confidence when we know that Jesus took care of what happened. Amen? So then we believe on Him for our salvation. Not just born again, but salvation. That great big word means everything that a man needs is wrapped up in salvation. Salvation is in His wings. We look to Jesus. We always look to the cross. Amen? That's the gospel. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you ever run into a teaching that's not leading you to the cross, stop. Stop. Because it's going to end up leading you to your own efforts, your own ability, your own talents, your own efforts. And that's not what Jesus wants. He wants you to look to Him for everything. After all, He is your creator. He created you. Amen? You can expect Him to take care of you. We have to believe on Him to get it done. We'll get to that part in a little bit. Now look down here to verse 16. We're going to look at Abraham a little bit. Chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, I had a preacher try to tell me that all these blessings and all this special stuff were just for the Jews. That's not true. It said to all the seed. Amen? Actually, you have more access to the blessing than they do. You have a better covenant than the Old Testament people do. You have a better covenant. You have Jesus. Amen? Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, there's a lot in there, but it gives us some directions, and it tells us a little bit about how God got Abraham changed. See, this dude's name was Abram. But then God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. We don't think about this often, but we should. Because at that time, Abraham didn't have any kids. And God changed his name to father of many nations. Now, Abraham was a powerful man at that time. He had a lot of employees. He had a lot of herders working for him. I mean, he had payroll to deal with. He had other people to deal with. He had a wife to deal with. And he had to call them around. He had to walk around calling himself the father of many nations. So can you imagine the conversations some of these sheep herders had about him when they came to get paid? They come in there and say, "Abram, I need my pay." And he said, "My name is the father of many nations." "Here's your pay." They go out behind the rock and say, "That old goat herder spent too much time in the sun. He's calling himself the father of many nations, and he hasn't even had one kid yet." What happened? God got him to change his confession. He had to teach Abraham how to call things that aren't as though they are. Now, one of the things Abraham had to do is become fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he would do. Now, God told Joshua when he was getting ready to take over for Moses, this was a big task. He was getting ready to take the children over into the promised land. And God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. See, that's how we get that word into it. We meditate on his word. We run around, we talk to ourselves. They're not going to throw you in jail for talking to yourself. But you run around meditating on God's word. What are you doing? You're mumbling. You're saying his word. What you're basically doing is you're getting his word into the atmosphere so you can hear it and it gets into your heart. And then you say it again so you can hear it so it comes back into your heart. You're sowing seed. You're sowing God's seed into your heart. And you can expect it to produce a crop for you. But you're going to have to control your tongue. Here's an interesting thing about your heart. God has designed your heart to be a super seed growing machine. And it doesn't care what kind of seed goes in there. It's going to grow something. Now, if you throw the devil's seeds in there, it's going to grow the devil's flower. But if you throw God's seed in there, it's going to produce the God kind of crop that you want. But you're going to grow something. And you're going to grow what you continually say. I've seen people talk about fear. They say, "I'm afraid of this," all the time. That every time you talk to them, they say, "I'm afraid of this." I ran into people that say, "I'm afraid of heart disease." One time I was at the dollar store. And I knew something was up. This guy in front of me had a whole cart of this coconut water. I mean, he bought every can of coconut water they had. He had it, you know, by nature. And I said, "So what's up with the coconut water?" And he said, "My dad died of heart disease. My grandpa died of heart disease. I'm so afraid I'm going to get heart disease that this is good for you. Drink coconut water." And I thought, "Dude, lose about 100 pounds. You know, put the Twinkies away. It wouldn't hurt to go to church and learn to control your confessions, get rid of this fear, and rely on Jesus to keep you healthy, and not this coconut water. He didn't want to go to church. You know, I run into people all the time. You know, they eat, they have these special diets, these certain diets. You know, the Mediterranean diet is supposed to be really good for you. It's good for you. But did you know that Jesus healed a lot of people that were on the Mediterranean diet? Come on, guys. We got to get our faith in God. Get our focus on Him. So let's go to our next thing. How about wisdom? Here's something. The wisest man in the world at that time was Solomon. He told us to seek after wisdom and find understanding. You know, finding that wisdom and understanding would lead you to the fear of God. It's literally a reverence. You're not to be afraid of God. He doesn't want you to be afraid of Him. He wants you to have a deep reverence and a deep understanding for Him. Amen? But that wisdom will lead you to that. So that's the Old Testament. Let's find something in the New Testament that talks about wisdom. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And there's a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer in there that the Holy Spirit gave to Paul to give to the church. And you know, if you've got a born-again loved one that's running around there like crazy or in a pet coon, and you need him to turn to God so he can start living his life right, here's your prayer. You pray this for the born-again people. And this is what Paul prayed for us. Verse 17 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of His glory of the inheritance in His saints. He's given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Receive it. You've got it. You've got that spirit of wisdom and revelation. How are we going to grow in this? In the understanding of Him. It goes on there. It says in the knowledge of Him. The more you learn of Jesus, the more wisdom and revelation you're going to walk in. Isn't that what Jesus said? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The more you learn of Jesus, the more freedom you're going to walk in. Amen. All the blessings are wrapped up in Him. Sometimes we get sidetracked. You know, when there's something we need. You know, if we need healing. You know, if we need finances, whatever it is we need. Sometimes we'll focus on that, and we'll get our focus on the blessing instead of the blesser. If you'll get your focus on the blesser, the blessing will be there. Don't miss the forest for the trees. Amen? So there's our wisdom part of it. So how about the love part of it? This is a tricky one for a lot of people. Because it gets preached wrong from the pulpits a lot. Go to Matthew. And I bought into it too for a while. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Whenever you're reading the Bible, this is very important. Find out who's talking and who they're talking to. You know, sometimes there's things that are said in the Bible that do not pertain to you. They pertain to Jews. Sometimes there's things that do pertain to you that don't pertain to Jews. Sometimes there are things that were said to Gnostics. And sometimes preachers tell Christians that things, you know, they get things completely out of order. And they feed them the wrong stuff, and Christians buy into it. And here's a toughie, right here. Verse 35 says, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Now, I don't see how come people get confused about this. But I did. I heard that. You got to love the Lord your God more. If you loved God, you would be out on the mission field more. If you loved God, you would do this. You'd be feeding the poor more. If you loved God, you'd be doing that. Well, didn't Jesus say that? He did say that out of his own mouth. But he was talking to a lawyer about the law. Amen? And I'll tell you what would happen. I would try to love God more. I'd try to love people more. And I'd fail. And I'd fail again. And I'd fail again. And so does a lot of other people, because they're trying to do something that they're not designed to do. They got out of order. So this, remember, the cross made all the difference. What happened before the cross is a whole different set of circumstances than what happened after the cross. So let's find out what happened after the cross. So let's go to 1 John. First John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Did you know that God loves you with the same love that he loves Jesus with? The same love that he loves Jesus with is the same love that he loves you with. And John told us to believe the love that God has for us. When you believe the love that God has for you, and you understand how much he loves you, loving other people isn't going to be all that hard. That doesn't mean that you're going to be all nice and cushy with them. One guy said, I was kind of rattled and I was kind of mad at him. Yeah, I told him, "You need to go somewhere else." And he said, "Lady, I thought she was going to pop." And I thought, "What's wrong with you? I wasn't even born. What was she doing? She was trying not to be mad. Jesus didn't say anything about not being mad. He said, be angry and sin not. Go shout at the devil. I don't know if any of you ever heard that song, Shout at the Devil. I know you have. Go shout at the devil. Take it out on him. Not on flesh and blood. Amen. Here's the tricky thing about some people. There's some people that are led by the devil. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that as many as are the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. So there's an anti to that. That anti would be as many as that are not born again can expect to be led by the spirit of Satan. There really is a devil out there. Some people think he went away when Jesus got done. He didn't go away. He got defeated, but he didn't go away. And he's only defeated to the born-again Christian. There's some people that get led by the spirit of Satan, and they don't know any better. There's a blind. They're blind. They need their eyes opened. So we don't take it out on them. We take it out on the devil. Amen? I mean, if they're not doing physical harm to you or somebody close to you, don't give them a black eye. They may say some nasty things to you. But when they just say them nasty things to you and that's all they do, then you turn the other cheek. They're not hurting you. You're a dead man. You're alive in Christ. But they're not hurting you. Amen? So let's go to our next part here. The righteousness part. This is a big religious word to me. For a long time, I thought it had something to do with clothing. Well, Adam thought it had something to do with clothing too. Because when he sinned in the garden, him and Eve made clothes out of some leaves. What were they doing? They were trying to hide their sin so that they could be in right standing with God. Righteousness means right standing with God. Now, God said, that will not do. And he sacrificed an animal and put bloody skins on them. I think he put the blood side out. I can't prove it, but that's what I believe. That he could see that blood. And then they had a covering, an atonement. And then all my life, I thought righteousness was about clothing. But And it really is, but not in the sense that we make it. When you get born again, there's a covenant that you all of a sudden became a part of. And in the Old Testament, when these people would cut these covenants, they'd cut these animals in half and they'd walk in these muddy messes and they would trade. One guy would take some of his sheep and put it in this guy's flock, and they'd take some of his sheep and put them in this flock as a covenant reminder. They'd take some weapons and they'd swap some weapons as a covenant reminder. Another peculiar thing that they would do is they would trade coats. Now, when you got born again, Jesus put what on you? A coat of righteousness on you. You've been covered with a coat of righteousness. That shows that you're in right standing with God. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's not something that you can earn. It's not something that you can attain to. You can't pray your way to it. You can't fast your way to it. You can't give your way to it. All you can do is believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and God raised him back to life, and that you confessed him to be Lord. That very minute, you got made as righteous as you're ever going to be. Amen? You also got made a new creature in Christ. A new creature that has no past. As far as God is concerned, when you got born again, your slate got wiped clean. And as far as he's concerned, you're walking in the light and you're learning of him and you're trying to get more and more of Jesus in you. That blood of Jesus is washing you daily. So you're in right standing with God. Ever since the garden, when Adam sinned, he got kicked out of the garden. He was no longer in right standing with God. Ever since then, there's been all these different things that happened. People trying to get in right standing with God so that they could have his favor and blessings on their life. Then he ran into Abraham and cut a covenant with him. Abraham believed him. Abraham was in right standing with God. Abraham didn't do everything right. Did you know that? Isaac wasn't his first son. Ishmael. He decided he'd do things his own way. But God didn't just zap him and say, let's start a new one. Find another guy to cut a covenant with. No, he cut a covenant with Abraham. And God is not an Indian giver. He stayed true to the covenant. But see, when they cut that covenant, Abraham got laid off to the side in a deep sleep. And Jesus walked in that covenant with God. Thank God. Because he is the only one that could fulfill that covenant. Now, when you get to be old enough to make decisions for yourself, you can make your decision for Christ. That means, yes, I want to be in that covenant. That's how that works. You're in right standing with God that loves you with the same love that Jesus has, and he's given you the spirit of wisdom, and he told you to operate in the law of faith, and he taught you how. You have an open book test. You win. Amen. The only reason you don't win is because you don't open the book. Amen. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us on his cross, in his death, burial, and resurrection, and even now, as our high priest at the right hand of God, who we are seated in, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. We thank you for all the blessings that Jesus has given us. You've truly given us everything freely with Christ Jesus, and it's in him. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.